In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's gospel, we have the familiar story of the disciples in the boat and Jesus walking on the water and Peter being called to join him. This story, beautiful in itself, is also an important lesson for all of us in dealing with trials, dealing with all of those challenges that come into our lives. We're promised in the New Testament, we're promised by Jesus himself, that if we follow him on this path that he laid out for us in the gospel, that it's not going to be an easy path, that there will be hardships, there will be persecution, and there will be trials and afflictions and tribulations. And all of these things are symbolized in that raging, stormy sea that the disciples are crossing in their boat. We are like those disciples crossing the stormy, sea of this life with all the waves and the wind battering our little tiny ships, our little tiny boats from every side. And when we look at this story and we see how the disciples got onto that sea, it's Jesus who sent them there. Jesus who told them to go into the boat. He put them in the boat and he sent them knowing that what was going to happen, knowing the hardships and difficulties they would face. And he actually didn't get into the boat with them. What did he do? He went up, it says, on the mountain to pray. Because even as they were out in the midst of those waves, even as they were terrified, he was watching over them and praying for them. And he waited to come to them. It says that they were battling those waves all night until it says the fourth watch of the night. What is the fourth watch of the night? It's about 4 a.m. Just before dawn. Almost the whole night he let them struggle. But there's a reason for that. Because, as we learn from the epistles of St. Paul, trials can be to our benefit. When we face trials in faith, when we face those challenges that come to us in this life, they help us to grow in character, to grow in trust of God, to become more humble and more dependent on God. And therefore, they lead us to salvation. So we need those kind of trials. We need those challenges. Just like, if someone wants to, grow stronger, they have to challenge their muscles, not just lifting a feather, but lifting as much weight as they can safely do, in order to get stronger. The scriptures promise us that God will not test us or challenge us beyond what we can bear, but he often pushes it up right up to the limit. And again, that's for our good, so that we can grow. And here he does the same for the disciples. He lets them struggle until the fourth watch of the night, until 4 a.m. But before they completely lose heart and give up, he comes to them. At just the right moment, in his divine wisdom, he comes to them. And he comes to them in the most unexpected way, walking on the water, so that they're startled. And maybe this is the final challenge that they have, to think, oh no, now on top of the waves we have ghosts. But Christ tells them, do not be afraid, it is I. Now, what happens next is an example for us in how to face trials. What Peter does is an example for us. We often focus on Peter's failure, on the fact that he doubted and so he started to sink. And we think, oh, poor Peter, he doesn't have enough faith. But his actions actually are an example for us of not only faith, but love. So yes, his faith was incomplete. His faith was weak. But he was the only one to get out of the boat. There were 11 other disciples in the boat, right? So he did show faith. Though his faith was imperfect, he showed faith. And he also showed love. This moment where, you know, Jesus announces it as I, and then Peter says, oh, if it's you, let me come to you. It reminds me of another encounter between Peter and Jesus, which is recorded in the Gospel of John. After Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus appeared to the disciples while they were fishing. They were out in boats on the lake, and Jesus was on the shore. And John realized that it was Jesus, so he says, oh, it's the Lord. And when the gospel records for us, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes because he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. So why was he naked? He was stripped for work because they were doing hard work with the fishing. But when he heard that it was the Lord, his first thought was, I need to go see the Lord, and I can't see the Lord looking like this. So he put on his clothes, and then he jumps into the sea, which is irrational, but it shows the over-exuberance of his love, right? He's not thinking straight, but he's feeling right. He's got the right love, but he's, you know, even though we learn later in that same story that those boats, those fishing boats, were just a short way off the shore. He could have waited for a few minutes while they rowed in, but he was so excited to hear there was the Lord, he just wanted to be with him. And this is the same motivation that Peter shows here. Sometimes we might read this and we might think, oh, well, Peter's just showing off. Like, he just wants to walk on the water. He's like, that's pretty cool. Can I do that too? But no, Peter wants to be with the Lord because of his love for him. And this is the solution when we face trials in this life, is to be close to the Lord, to do whatever it takes in love and in faith, approaching the Lord, stepping out of our comfortable, you know, setting, in order to be with the Lord. And Peter gets out of the boat. He walks towards the Lord. He's fine for a while. But then, as I said before, his faith is imperfect. It says he sees the winds and he's afraid. And so he starts to sink. It's interesting that he doesn't think about the, you know, I don't know how many thousands of feet of water are beneath him. He thinks about the wind. And often that's the case with us as well. It's not the things that we should most be concerned about, but things that sort of, you know, are less important that sometimes bother us. But suffice it to say, when he takes his eyes off Jesus and puts them on his struggles, on his problems, on the challenges that he faces, is when he begins to sink. This is hard for us to do when we're in the midst of trials. Our focus automatically goes to the trials, when it should be always on the Lord. And if we can keep it on the Lord, then we will stay on top of things, as Peter would have stayed on top of the sea if he would have just kept his focus on the Lord. And the most important way that we can do this is when we face trials, to make prayer our first resort rather than our last resort. Not focusing on the trials first of all and trying to fix the problems, but the very first thing to do is to pray and ask God's help in that situation, and then do what you can. But Peter still shows faith, even though it's imperfect, because as he sinks, instead of just trying to, you know, doggy paddle back to the boat, he cries out, "Lord, save me." So when we do fall, when we do stumble, that is the solution. Again, when we realize, oh, my attention is in the wrong direction, my attention is on my problems, it should be on the Lord, turn it back to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me." Return to the Lord. And when Peter does this, the Lord reaches out his hand and lifts him out. And just one last detail to mention before I close. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind became calm. Notice that the wind and the storm kept going on this whole time as Jesus is with Peter. And Jesus doesn't solve Peter's problem by taking away the wind that was worrying him, right? Maybe that's what we would think would be the natural solution. Like, oh, Peter's distracted by the wind. Lord, why don't you take away the wind? No. No, because the most important thing is for Peter's attachment to Christ to be confirmed and solidified so that no distraction will be able to remove it. His faith needs to be so strengthened that even when he faces death at the end of his ministry before the persecutors, he will gladly embrace that cross rather than denying Christ. So the Lord often doesn't take away the wind, he doesn't take away the trial, but he gives us his hand so that we can walk through that trial with him. So brothers and sisters in Christ, I think most of us, if not all of us, feel like we are in the midst of a raging storm, not just because of what's going on in our personal lives, but because of what's going on in this world. Let us take to heart the example of this gospel and realize that the Lord is watching over us, that all of these trials are granted to us for our benefit, and that if we will but keep our focus on Him and draw near to Him in faith and love, then He will see us through, not only rescuing us from the threat, but also strengthening us so that we can become mature in our faith. To our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory, honor, and worship, together with His Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.